Good morning. Buenos días. ¿Cómo están? Excelente. Very good. Open up your Bibles to Philippians. I got some great news for you today. Guess what? This is the last one. We are finishing Philippians today. Isn't that great news? Well, what should I start next? Matthew, my son, is he over there? Yeah, he's sitting over there. He said I should start the Psalms, because he said, if it took you 2 years to finish Philippians, how long would it take you to do the Psalms? And so he wants to see that. I'm not sure what's coming next, but today will be our last day in the book of Philippians. So today in Philippians chapter 4, we're going to be looking at investing. Investing. Now, most of us here have invested at one point or another in our lives, whether it's investing in stocks or mutual funds, or some people invest in an education. But most of us here have invested in something. And what do we expect with our investments? We expect them to grow. So if I invest $1,000 right now at age 30, right? Okay, maybe not quite 40, okay? Okay, 51. If I invest $1,000 right now, in 20 years from now, I hope that this $1,000 has multiplied. And now it's worth $1,000,000, right? Okay, maybe not quite that much, but that's what we expect with investing. Well, in the passage today, Paul is teaching or talking to the Philippians, and he uses this term of investing. But he's not talking about investing for financial gain. He's talking about investing for eternity. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for everything that you do for us every day. I thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross to pay for our sins, and sacrificing and giving us the forgiveness of sin when the only thing we deserve is hell. I pray, Lord, that you would be with us today. Open our hearts for your word. Help us to learn and take this word and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to start in verse 10. Now, last time that I taught was back in July. And in July, we looked at this verse real quickly, and we moved on to verses 11 to 13. So this whole passage, Paul is talking about thanking them for the gift and their investment for eternity. But in verses 11 to 13, he takes a time out. He said, time out. I'm going to talk about me for a minute and my contentment. My contentment in any circumstance, and that's what we looked at last time. So this week we're going to focus more on the Philippian side of things, starting in verse 10, and then we're going to jump ahead to verse 14. It says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Now the key word here that's repeated twice is concerned. Concerned. The Philippians were concerned for Paul. They loved him. They wanted to help him. They were concerned. So that's our first point today. The Philippians concerned for Paul. Why were the Philippians concerned for Paul? What did Paul do? What made them concerned about him? Well, Paul was right now traveling as a missionary, starting churches in different places. But where is he at right now? He's in prison in Rome. Is he still preaching the gospel? Yes, he's preaching from prison. Now, he's limited in what he can do, but he's still doing his ministry from there. And so he would go everywhere preaching the gospel. How did Paul get to Philippi? What was his goal of going to Philippi? To preach the gospel. Paul's the one that started the church in Philippi. Many of the people in the church in Philippi were most likely won to the Lord by Paul. How do you feel? How many of you remember the person that led you to the Lord? Lots of you. Oh, hopefully all of us. We remember that. Well, how do you feel about that? Isn't that awesome? Aren't you so thankful to that person for taking the time to share God's word with you so that you could know Christ? And I'm sure that the Philippians felt the same way. Well, now Paul is their missionary. He's out preaching the gospel, taking the same message that they received, and he's preaching it to others as well. And just like that, our missionaries are doing the same thing. So I got a question. Are we concerned about our missionaries like the Philippians were concerned about their missionary? We have missionaries all over the world. We have a bunch of missionaries in here with us right now. There's missionaries that are sitting here. We have missionaries that are probably in church services around the world right now. We have missionaries that are probably sleeping right now because it's the middle of the night. But here is our missionary family. Are we concerned about them? What should we be concerned about? First of all, we can be concerned about their safety. Some of our missionaries are living in countries where they could be killed at any time because they're Christians. Are we concerned about them? We should be. Other missionaries are here back in the U.S. right now on furlough. The teach-outs are back in the... They're not here today, are they? I don't think they are. Okay, but they're getting ready to travel back. They've been traveling around in the car, spending a lot of time traveling, going to visit all of their supporters, and they're getting ready to go back. So travel, are we concerned about the safety? What about the families? Are we concerned about the kids? Kids grow up, those that aren't here in the U.S., kids grow up, they're Americans, they grow up in another country. For example, our kids grew up in Mexico. Are our kids Mexican? No. So they get along with the kids, but they don't completely fit in. Now then they come back here to the United States. Are kids American? Yes. But they're more Mexican now than they are American. And so it's hard for families a lot of times. So are you concerned about our missionaries? That's called the third culture kid. Someone who from one culture grows up in another one, and they got like a third culture. What about for their ministries? Are we concerned about their ministries? Hey, do they have everything that they need in order to minister effectively? What about financial needs? Do they need more support? Did you know, out of all of our missionaries, and there's a couple of them here that aren't up here because of they don't want it to be published on, because this is live streamed. But out of all of our missionaries, did you know that almost all of them, there's a few of them that are fully supported. Almost all of our missionaries are under-supported. Does that concern us? Out of our missionaries, and this it could have changed a little bit, but from this time last year, 8 of our missionaries were lacking over $1,000 per month in support. Does that concern us? The church in Philippi was concerned about their missionary Paul, and we should be concerned as well. Well, how did the Philippians show their concern? First of all, the Philippians' partnership with Paul. Let's go to verse 14, and it says, "Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble." First of all, Paul's trouble. What's his trouble? Right now, where is he? He's in prison. So would that be trouble? Most likely, that's part of what he's referring to. Hey, he had needs in prison, and nobody else was helping him. And so the Philippians sent, and they were sharing. And he says here, it was kind of you to share my trouble. So first of all, the word share means fellowship. It comes from the same Greek word koinonia, this word for share. Let's look in chapter 1, verses 4-7. It says, "Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. You are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel." The Philippians were gospel partners with Paul. Even while he was in prison, they were partners with him. They weren't there in prison physically, but they were joined together with him as partners. They were having fellowship with him. They were concerned about him. They prayed for him. And that's the first thing. How did they share? How did they partner with Paul? First of all, they prayed for him. In Philippians 1:19, it says, Paul says, I know you guys are praying for me, and this is going to lead to my deliverance. In chapter 2, we see that they sent Epaphroditus to go visit him and to minister to him, to take care of him. And the third thing that they did was they gave. And that's what the theme of this section that we're looking at right now. As he's sending a thank you, thanking them for the gifts that they had given him. Well, how can we partner with our missionaries? How can we partner with them? You know what? The same three ways. Praying for our missionaries. Are you praying for them? It's so much easier. It's not easier to pray today as it was back in then. That's the same. But it's so much easier to have up-to-date current prayer requests today. We got email. Missionaries send out updates every couple of months. You get an update from them to see what's going on. But not only that, we can send them a message. How many of you heard of WhatsApp? WhatsApp, here in the U.S., it's not as common, but overseas, everybody uses it. So you can take WhatsApp and call your missionary on the phone. I did this for Randy. Now, be careful the time. I called him at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was 10 o'clock, and he was already sleeping in South Africa. So be careful the time difference, but we can send text messages. They get them instantly. We can give phone calls, and we can get information from around the world so that we can pray better for people, for missionaries. Back in Paul's day, they might not have information about Paul for a year, or maybe more than a year. They don't have information. They have to wait until somebody's coming through that has information. But we can pray for our missionaries. Second thing is sending somebody to minister. For example, the Epaphroditus went. It was so encouraging to us when Bible Baptists sent groups down to visit us. We had the young adults come on two different occasions to help us with our summer program. It was such a blessing to us and such an encouragement, not only to us, but the people that we were working with. They loved having the groups come down from Bible Baptist. And it was an encouragement, and you were partnering with us when we were in Mexico through your prayers, but also through coming on those missions trips. And the third thing, which is, like I already mentioned, the theme of this passage that we're looking at is giving. And I thank Bible Baptist for all of those years that we were serving in Mexico. And even before that in Honduras, you gave faithfully to our ministry. And all the missionaries that were up here just a little bit ago, we faithfully give to them every month. And that's what this passage is talking about. Well, this partnership in giving wasn't common. And look what it says in verse 15. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, now first of all, what's Macedonia? Macedonia is the province. I don't have a map up here, but it's a province. It's like Indiana, and then Kokomo. We live in Kokomo. Philippi was like the city, and Macedonia was a province that where they were located in. And so it says that when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. So nobody else was helping Paul. Things are a little bit different in the way missions work today. When we were raising support, it's different. It was different then than it is today. When we were raising support in the late 1990s, what we did is we went to over 100 churches in 15 months. Every week we were in a different church. Sometimes Sunday morning we're in one church, Sunday evening we're in another church, and Wednesday night we're in another church. We were constantly traveling in different churches. Well, about 10 to 15 years later, we were planning our trip back and we needed to raise some additional support. And so I started contacting pastors expecting to plan more new churches. I contacted about 200 pastors. You know how many new churches that we were able to get into? Two. Things changed drastically in that time. Back when we were raising support, pastors would receive letters and emails and phone calls from missionaries multiple per week. You know how many phone calls and emails that I get from missionaries looking for support now? Hardly any. Maybe a couple a year, two or three per year. Things have changed dramatically as far as raising support. Churches aren't doing that as much anymore. Now, to be fair, churches are helping their own missionaries at higher levels than when we were raising support. It was a lot lower, the levels of support. But it's really difficult for missionaries to raise support today. Most missionaries don't have support, a lot of support from churches. It's more from individuals and families. And so back in those days, partnership wasn't common, and today the partnerships are difficult to find. The second way that we see that the Philippians did is they gave repeatedly. It says in verse 16, even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Multiple times he sent them gifts. And then in 2 Corinthians 11:9, and when I was with you and was in need, I did not burden anyone. He's talking to the Corinthians here. So when I was with you, when I was in Corinth, for the brothers who came from Macedonia. Who were the brothers from Macedonia? The Philippians. There might have been some other churches as well, but the Philippians were some of those. The Philippians supplied my need, so I refrained and will refrain from burdening you in any way. So the Philippians helped Paul when he was in Philippi. The Philippians helped Paul when he was in Corinth, when he was in Thessalonica. They helped him. And now he's in Rome, and they're sending more help to Paul. We partner with our missionaries as a church on a monthly basis. Every month, we send our missionaries funds. But I got a question for you. The question is, would you personally or as a family consider partnership with a missionary? When we were missionaries, Bible Baptist Church supported us. But you know what else? We had four families from Bible Baptist Church that supported us on a regular basis. You all know who you are, so I'm not going to call you out, but thank you so much for those of you that supported us on a regular basis. Now, some of you are hearing this morning and you think, missionaries do that? You can send money to missionaries? Probably there's people that didn't even know you could do that. If that's you, would you consider supporting, partnering with a missionary? Well, before you make that decision, I first want to talk about, continue on with the result of their investment, their concern in partnership for Paul. What is the result of their giving to Paul? When we invest money, whether it's in education or in stocks or in a business or whatever we invest in, we expect a return. Well, what is the return for investing in the gospel? First of all, in verse 17, it talks about fruit. It says, not that I seek the gift. What's Paul saying here? Not that I seek the gift. He's telling them, hey, you guys did great. Thank you so much. I'm not saying this because I want you to send me more. So thank you so much, but I'm seeking more of a gift. But what does he seek? I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. He seeks the fruit to their credit. What is this talking about? What is this fruit? The word fruit here can be translated gain or profit. So Paul is being like a financial advisor here. He says fruit that increases to your credit. He means your eternal portfolio is increasing in value. As they're investing in eternity, the value is increasing. Matthew 6:20 says, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Are we investing in eternity? It's great to invest for our futures, but are we investing for eternity? Well, what is this fruit? What is the returns that they're seeing here? How does he know that the portfolio, eternal portfolio, is growing? It could be rewards like that we receive in heaven, like you see this guy that's receiving the wreath because he won a competition. 2 Corinthians 9:25 says, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So it could be this, or like in 2 Timothy 4:8, it says, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to the all who have loved his appearing. So this is what it could be, but I kind of think that it's more like this verse in 1 Thessalonians 2:19 and 20. It says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before the Lord, before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. Well, what's Paul saying here? Those people who are going to be in heaven because of his ministry, all of the Philippians are the fruit of his ministry. And then those Philippians went out, and Philippians are winning other people to the Lord as well, and more fruits being multiplied. And Paul's saying, hey, this is the fruit, the people. Those that are going to be in heaven as a result of the ministry are part of the fruit here. Susan and the kids know some of these, all these people. And I'm not saying this to boast. These are some of the people that came to know Christ during our ministry in Mexico. They are our fruit. I'm going to be able to spend eternity with these people in heaven. With you, with them. And you know what? These aren't just my, this isn't just our fruit. This is your fruit as well. Look what Paul is saying here. It says, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. As Paul ministered, they're sending, they're partnering with him through their gifts. They get credit for the fruit that Paul produces. As we give to missions around the world, Bible Baptist Church gets credited with the fruit, with those souls that are saved, and the multiplication that happens as a result. So the second thing, the first thing is the fruit. The second result is the missionary is served. Look what Paul says in verse 18. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. So there's Paul saying, hey, you guys went above and beyond. Thank you so much for this gift. You've done a great job in supplying for my needs. As we send money to our missionaries, they have needs, and we're able to help them so that they can effectively minister and take the gospel to those that are lost, to disciple believers, to help people to grow, to send out other missionaries. Paul says, hey, you guys were very gracious to me. I remember Bible Baptist Church was very gracious to us as well. With the support through the years, but there was also this one time, we lived in Mexico and would drive back and forth to Mexico. Because if you fly back, then you don't have a vehicle here. We had bought a vehicle in Mexico. It was called a Volkswagen Transporter. Probably most of you have never heard of a Volkswagen Transporter unless you've been to Mexico or Germany or something like that. But with this vehicle, there were no parts here in the U.S. It was a newer vehicle that we had bought in Mexico. We came up when we're driving back to the U.S., and all of a sudden our transmission goes out. Oh, I was like, oh, what are we going to do? And they couldn't fix it. Nobody wanted to touch our motor or the transmission because no one had worked on that vehicle before because they don't exist here. And so I had to take it to the Volkswagen dealership. And what they did is they had to order a new transmission and have it shipped. I don't know if it came from Germany or from Mexico, but they had to have a new transmission shipped, and it was thousands of dollars. And Bible Baptist Church sent us a big check to help cover the cost. I praise God and thank God for Bible Baptist Church. The missionary is served when we give. And as the missionaries serve, they can go about producing the fruit that gets credited to our account. Next thing, God is pleased. God is pleased. Look what it says in verse eight, at the end of verse 18. It's a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. First thing is, giving to missions is a fragrant offering. Like in the Old Testament, they offered the incense to God. What's your favorite smell? I heard somebody say something?
Lavender.
Okay, lavender. Some people, oh, they love lavender. I'm not a big lavender person. I prefer like grilled steak or something like that. Or bacon. Smelling bacon in the aren't those smells great? But there's other people that like lavender, flowers, the ocean breeze. There's many different smells. Candles. Women love candles. My wife loves candles and putting on. And they do. They have this really nice aroma that comes from them. And it's very pleasing. Our giving towards missions is an aroma that is pleasing to God. As we sacrifice and give, God is pleased. It's a fragrant offering to Him. Second, giving to missions is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice to give to missions, isn't it? Some of you here, if I were to say, I'd like you to start giving to missions, $10 a month, and $10, I don't know where I'm going to get $10. Then there's others that would probably say, $100 a month, that's no problem at all. But missions, giving to missions is a sacrifice. It was a sacrifice for the Philippians. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 1. He's talking to the Corinthians again. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. So who is he talking about here? The Philippians. Once again, it could be other churches as well, but the Philippians are included in this. Now, this next verse is one of the great paradoxes of the Bible. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. Isn't that verse just amazing? A severe test of affliction. Do you put that with abundance of joy when you think, I'm going through a severe test of affliction. I'm going to have an abundance of joy. We don't put those together. But look at the next part. In their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity. How is that possible? They gave even in their poverty. They sacrificed. How could they do that? Well, it goes back to verse 1. The grace of God that has been given among the churches. Only through the grace of God can we sacrifice to give. The Philippians sacrificed to help. Can we sacrifice? Can we sacrifice to help our missionaries? Missions giving is a sacrifice. But when you look at the cross here, what did Jesus sacrifice for us? Jesus took our sins and died on the cross to pay for our sins. We don't deserve that. He was the ultimate sacrifice. He was beaten. He bled. He had nails driven through his hands. He did that for us. Can we sacrifice for Him? Number 3, giving to missions is worshiping God. It's a fragrant offering, a sacrifice. It's acceptable and pleasing to God. What's our goal in life? What should it be? Please God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, eat or give to missions, do it all for the glory of God. As we are giving, it's pleasing to God and it's worshiping Him. God is pleased as we sacrifice to give to Him. Well, the next thing is, you might be thinking, I'm willing to try, but I don't know how I'm going to do this. Let's look at the next verse 19, and it says, and my God will supply every need of yours. Your needs will be supplied. We use this verse taken out of this context a lot. God's going to supply for our needs, and that's true. But what's the context of this? He's talking to the Philippians who have just sacrificed to send him all of these presents to him, these gifts to him. And he's thanking them. And he's saying, guess what? You sacrificed. God is going to take care of you. And God is going to supply the needs that we have. He's not going to supply, as Warren Wiersbe says, he will supply all your needs. He will not supply all of your greeds. Good one, huh? I can't take credit for it. But he's not going to give us what we want, but he is going to take care of us and give us what we need. And look at the end of the verse, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. How rich is God? Totally. Everything in the world belongs to him. Could God take his riches and go to all of our missionaries and say, boom, here's $1 million for you. Boom, here's $1 million for you. Boom, here's $1 million for you. And he covers all of their expenses. Oh, and here at the church, boom, the gym renovation's been paid for. Ooh, isn't that great? Could God do that? He sure could. But does God do work that way normally? No. That's not the way God works. God wants to use you, and he wants to use me to accomplish his mission. But God will supply all of our needs. Why? For the glory of God. Look what it says in verse 20. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. What's Paul doing here? After just sharing that whole part that comes right before this, he looks at what God is doing and says, glory to God. Amen. As we sacrifice to give to missions, is God glorified? Is God pleased? Yes. As the missionary receives those funds and uses it to reach people with the gospel, to train leaders, to train missionaries to go out, and to work with kids, as they're using the money to glorify God, God is pleased. Then back over here with those that give, they've sacrificed. Now seeing God supply the needs of those that are here, God is getting the glory. God uses other people to supply my needs as I've given to other people. And as all of this is happening and working together, God is glorified. We grow to be more like Christ, and we are pleasing to God. So what does all this mean for us? First of all, are you concerned for our missionaries? Are we concerned for the missionaries? Now, looking at the picture that we just had up there a little bit ago of our missionaries, there's probably some that you look at them and say, oh, what's their name? And I don't know who they are. We should be concerned about them. We should be concerned about their needs. We should be concerned about their health. We should be concerned about their families. Are we concerned? How can we show concern for them? How can we show concern for them? Well, partnering with them. First of all, we can partner with them through our prayers. They don't just need finances. They need prayer. We need the power of God to be able to take the gospel around the world. Are we praying for our missionaries? We can partner with them by sending an encouraging email to them or contacting them through social media. There's many different ways. Maybe it's by sending a gift, but there's many ways that we can show our concern for them. See, are you partnering with missionaries? Well, how do I get started? Some of you are already doing it. Great, praise God. But for those that aren't, would you consider it? And how do I get started? First thing I want to tell you, pray. Talk to God. God, I want to be a blessing around the world in missions. Give me wisdom. Help me to make decisions. Pray about it. Talk to God. But not only talk to God, but then start thinking, okay, how much? And talking to God about that too, but as a family, how much can we give towards missions? And then next, who are we going to start supporting? Well, if you need to know people that have needs, come talk to me. I know the needs of our missionaries, and so feel free to come talk to me and get an idea, or just contact the missionary that God has laid on your heart to, and just say, hey, do you have any financial need? How's your support coming? And then go from there. And ask, you can ask them, ask me, but will you consider partnering with a missionary? Next, how do you partner with a missionary? We just talked about that. Are you partnering, and then how do you partner? And then partnering with missions is worship. Partnering with missions is worshiping God. As we do this, it's worship. God is being glorified, and we receive fruit to our accounts. So, some action steps that I'd like to ask you for this week. First of all, show concern for a missionary this week. Pick one missionary. How are you going to show concern for them? Whether it's praying, send them an email. Just say, hey, I'm praying for you this week. Maybe you're connected with them on social media. Send them a message. How can we support you? What can we do to help you? What are some needs that you have? Pray for a missionary. Show concern for a missionary this week. Pray and talk about partnering with a missionary, and then start. Would you consider to do that? Now, this is between you and God. I'm just asking you to consider it. Ask God if that's what God wants you to do. Are you willing to consider helping one of our missionaries where there's plenty of need for more support? And then pray about it, talk about it, and then start doing it. And finally, watch God work as you worship Him. As we are worshiping God through our giving, we're going to watch God work. First of all, we're going to watch how God is using that missionary family to reach people with the gospel. And we'll also watch how God takes care of us as we sacrifice to help them. We watch God work as we worship Him. So will you take this challenge this week? Show concern for a missionary. Pray and talk about partnering with a missionary. And start if you can. And watch God work as you worship Him. Dear Lord, we thank You so much for Your word. We thank You so much for Your sacrifice for us. And I ask that You would help us to be willing to sacrifice, to send money, to send prayers, to encourage missionaries around the world with the gospel. And we thank You so much for how You're going to use us for Your glory, for the fruit that You're going to produce in the credit of Bible Baptist Church. And we thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.